This is Finding Christ in Cinema. You have my permission to listen.
On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we dig deep, real deep, and look for Christian themes in 10 Cloverfield Lane. Is Howard's bunker like the law? Does Michelle present herself as a living sacrifice? All that and more in 3, 2, 1. Come on in, admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 113. I'm Michael.
Y me llamo Señor Taylor.
Join us, and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation and ultimately our Christian walk. You're tuned in to Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
I was expecting you to say, "And I'm Brandon."
Oh no.
What? Hey, the first episode of October.
Of Octoberween.
Beginning our Halloween series. 4 movies in the month of October.
Yeah.
Oh, Brandon, are you looking forward to this?
I am.
Last year, we only did 2 Halloween movies that I can recall.
Yeah, we would have done more, but someone insisted that we take advantage of October 21st. Or no, October 15th. What was it? What was the date? The magic date?
I don't know.
Back to the Future?
Oh, yeah.
October 21st. Is that it? October 21st, 2015?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For
somebody insisted that we do that.
We had to.
I didn't think we had
okay, to. Okay, so last year we did The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, there's only one.
Yes. And, yeah, he only had that one nightmare, huh?
Yeah.
And then we did The Shining.
Hey.
So you want to go back into our archives and look those up. Nightmare Before Christmas, I believe, is episode number 72. 72, I do believe. So it shouldn't be too far back in the number of things. But, Brendan, what did we do last week?
Oh, last week? Tell you what, brother.
Yeah.
Last week, we did the 1997 classic Good Will Hunting.
It is a classic.
It is.
That was a powerful film wherein we were able to show how a Christian should disciple somebody versus how a Christian should not disciple someone.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go back and listen to that, friends. Go to christincinema.com and look up Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 112, Good Will Hunting. Did you have any addendums, afterthoughts? Oh, and another thing.
I did.
Good. What is it? Lay it on us.
We're going to start off this wonderful month of Octoberween with a Gather Round, Children.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Mr. Taylor is going to learn you something.
The difference between a point of view when telling a story with third person, you know, third person actually divides up into 2 different categories. Third person limited.
I wasn't ready for math.
No.
Oh, okay.
Just hang on.
Okay.
Buckle up. Okay. We're going for a ride.
Here we
go. Pack a lunch. We're going to be here all day. Third person limited and third person omniscient.
Okay. Explain.
Okay. Well, since this is a Christian show.
Yes.
Let's go ahead with Christian with third person omniscient first, because you know,
kind of sounds like God.
Yeah, you know. Well, with that in mind, a narrator or frame that is of the third person omniscient,
does it already ilk, knows what's going to happen.
Not necessarily.
Okay,
but they know what is inside the actors, or not the actors, but the characters' heads.
Ah.
Like, they know how they are feeling. They know how they feel internally about this certain person, or this certain event, or this certain thing.
Okay.
And it's kind of like when you've got a book, and the author says, and so-and-so felt sad because he remembered this event back.
So as I'm reading and listening to Harry Potter series right now,
yes,
each time that J.K. Rowling is giving us a glimpse into what's going on inside of Harry's head,
yes,
how he's reacting to something internally, that is third-person omniscient.
Well, not necessarily.
Oh.
Is it just Harry's head, or she also does that with other characters, doesn't she?
Yes, everybody.
So when it's everybody, that's when it's omniscient.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when you're in all the characters' heads at once.
Got it.
Okay.
J.R.R. Tolkien does that with the characters in The Lord of the Rings.
Exactly, yes. Yes. I bring it up with Good Will Hunting. Well, okay, I actually got to explain what Third Person Limited is.
Okay.
Limited is. Third Person Limited is where you have the narrator who only knows either one character's perspective, or they stay out of the heads completely.
Ah.
Which is what happens in Good Will Hunting.
How would I identify that?
Well, we just don't see anyone, you know, thinking of sad memories or happy memories.
No flashbacks.
Exactly. We don't have any flashbacks. All we know is what the characters say, and the actions that we see on the screen.
All right.
I bring that up because those are what drive the relationships in the film. Is what they share with each other, what they go through with each other, what Chucky and Will go through. We only see that externally driven. What Sean and Will go through, we only see that externally driven. And I make a point because it also kind of shows us Christians how we need to externalize some of the stuff that we've got going on inside. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Like how we need to express the faith that we've been given.
Yes.
Express the faith.
Don't keep it all to yourself.
Yeah, don't keep it in. Don't build a wall around yourself.
If you're holding heaven, spread it around, as Johnny Cash said.
Hey, there you go.
Yes.
And that's all I want to bring up.
All right. So. Hey, that's a good thing. Another learning experience here on Finding Christ in Cinema, because Brendan, of course, is the educated theater practitioner. You know what? We're starting Halloween month with episode number 113.
Spooky.
How is that?
I don't know.
Oh, it's amazing how things work out. Of course, we know that there's
no such thing as magic.
Yeah, but you don't have to be that much venom in your voice.
So the tutoring that I do after school,
yes.
I'm helping the kids write their own scary stories. One little girl popped up and said, "My mama told me not to believe in the boogeyman, so the boogeyman ain't real." And I said, "Can you prove it?" And she went, "No."
Well, you're challenging kids now. Yeah. Well, last week you were tackling them and taking their football.
Yeah, you know me.
Yeah. Yeah. Brendan, what are we talking about this first show of Halloween?
This week, we're talking about, would you call this a sleeper hit?
Oh, yes.
Because I didn't really know much about it. I thought I did. But of course,
nobody did.
J.J. Abrams being J.J. Abrams can keep a secret.
Yes.
This is 10. Cloverfield Lane.
You ready to go to the theater?
I am.
Theater.
The what?
I don't know. Okay. We're going.
Children behave. That's what they say when we're together. And watch how you play. They don't understand.
Something's coming.
Wow. Brendan, yeah. I had no idea what to expect with this movie. I had no inclination to even watch this movie. It's thanks to our listeners that said, no, you guys need to watch this movie.
Yeah.
It'll get John Goodman in the club, in the collection,
yes,
as FCC's very own. And I was absolutely, I mean, to say pleasantly surprised is really, that doesn't have the impact that I want it to have. You know, I was blown away by this film. I don't watch, I stopped watching modern horror movies and scary movies like this.
Like the suspense.
Yeah,
yeah.
Years ago, because especially, you know, we talked about that I have an affinity for 70s and 80s horror films, you know, Halloween and the Freddy Krueger movies and things like that. When they started getting just overtly slasher films where it was just, you know, buckets of blood and you know, slashed necks and decapitations and just foul, I lost interest in those.
Right.
Because I like a good scary story.
Yeah.
And this delivered. I mean, the especially psychological thrillers. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm thinking back to movies like The Omen where, yeah, there was a decapitation, but it wasn't just blood and blood and blood and blood and blood. And even things like Freddy Krueger, you know, was truly, for me, at that age and at that time, truly scary.
Right.
Because the buildup to something that's horrific that's going to happen, and there's a horrific thing that takes place in this, but that's
quite,
not
quite a couple.
That's not what really gets you. And also,
hey,
let's talk about the acting. I mean, generally speaking, horror movies are not known for A-list acting.
No,
this movie. Wow.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. What it, I mean, you hadn't seen it?
No, I hadn't seen it. I see, and I'm going to go ahead and get this out of the way.
All right.
I thought it was a sequel to Cloverfield.
And I have no interest in that found footage kind of shaky cam stuff. I'll get car sick. I already know that. And that's a lot of people's complaints on the original Cloverfield. I got sick. About 15 minutes into it, I was motion sick.
Right.
You know, things like that. Right. So anyway, I'm sorry for interjecting.
No, you're fine. I thought it was a sequel. So I was thinking, you know, everyone already knows that Cloverfield has this huge alien.
I don't, because I've never seen it.
It's got a huge alien in it.
Okay. Would you like to do this?
No.
Yeah, we need to anyway.
Oh, friends, for this movie, if you
have not watched 10 Cloverfield Lane, stop the podcast now. Go and rent it on Amazon, Google Play, iTunes, wherever. Watch this movie. Watch it.
Yeah.
If you like good suspense and psychological terror or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, tension.
You're always trying to figure out who you can trust.
Yes.
And who you cannot.
Yes. Okay. I interjected again. I'm going to do that. Keep doing it.
I was just going to say that even in the trailers of the original Cloverfield, you know there's an alien.
Yeah.
So you know
there's something.
You know that.
Something big.
With this film,
I was afraid it's going to be the Stay Fresh Marshmallow Man or something.
Oh, the Stay
Fresh. It's not that, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay, good.
No.
That's what turned me off from Ghostbusters. I was watching a giant Marshmallow Man.
I was just wondering if this movie was going to be either a sequel or a prequel. I know J.J. Abrams likes to do the time jump sometimes. He likes to do the time warp again.
The time warp again.
Hey, we should put that again on the list.
No, we should not.
I
was subjected to that film one time in my life and never again.
Never again.
Never again.
See, we could do Rocky Horror Picture Show.
No, we can't.
And
that's Susan Sarandon in it, doesn't it?
I can't remember.
Somebody like that.
But Rocky Horror Picture Show and The Big Lebowski for a 1-2 hitter.
And China Buffet.
Big Trouble in Little
China Buffet. China.
Big Trouble in Little China Buffet. Oh.
Boy,
when I heard 10 Cloverfield Lane's coming out, I'm like, okay, good. Maybe we'll get some more answers because the first film left you at a cliff.
That was my understanding.
At a cliffhanger, if you will. So I was like, okay, maybe we'll get some answers. But lo and
behold,
alas, no answers have been given.
In fact, it's a different state.
It is. And I actually got a quote from Mr. JJ right here. The idea for 10 Cloverfield Lane came up a long time ago during production. We wanted to make it a blood relative of Cloverfield, and the idea was developed over time. We wanted to hold back the title for as long as possible, blah, blah, blah. And so that right there, like, we know it's in the same universe as Cloverfield. probably the same aliens that were in the Cloverfield movie are in this film. Or they're related somehow.
Yeah.
Or the events, like where, what's her name, Michelle, is going toward at the end of the film. Maybe we'll get some answers down in Houston.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and find out. J.J. Abrams, we are at your mercy.
Yes.
We need to get you on the show and interview you.
Why does this movie work so well, in your opinion?
Oh, in my opinion, it's the close-knit drama.
Oh, right.
Because we've got these three characters thrust together in a situation where there's really no escape.
It's very claustrophobic.
Yeah.
Which is unsettling.
Yeah. Yeah.
No windows in a bomb shelter. You know, it makes for a very claustrophobic, close
it does.
Drama.
But now, I will say, the first thing that we see of that shelter is Michelle's little room.
Little cinder block room.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Yeah, cubby hole.
But then, you know, we see, okay, so this guy's been storing food. He's talking about how he's a prepper. He's a, you know, he's one of those guys. But then we see the living space, and we're like, whoa.
Yeah.
This guy's classy. You know?
He's got this thing set up.
So, and then it's like just the ever fluctuation of, can we trust Howard? Can we not trust Howard? Should we? Shouldn't we? It just goes back and forth.
What is his ultimate or ulterior motives?
Mm-hmm. And we don't see him come through until the very end.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What a guy.
It's a great drama.
Yeah.
Great.
Actually, you know what? Gather around, children, once again.
Oh, Mr. Taylor is going to learn you another thing.
Well, because the thing that I think makes drama work is when you've got two characters that know something about a third character, and then that third character enters, and that third character doesn't know that they know that thing about that third character. So then the anticipation just heightens, and you're wondering, okay, when's he going to find out?
Yeah.
Because that's what keeps you...
And what's going to happen when the roosters come home to
roost? Yeah, exactly.
How chickens.
How will this resolve?
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
See, that's when you're hooked.
Okay.
When you ask, how will this resolve, that's when you're hooked.
Shout-outs.
We got to talk to the man himself.
Oh, my goodness.
John Goodman, baby.
Welcome to the club, Mr. Goodman. I read a review where...
Oh, no, he was in Trumbo.
Yeah, but I mean...
Well, I mean, yeah, I know, but...
He's a star.
Yeah.
And he, grand slam, home run. In fact, one of the reviews on IMDb, a viewer said, you know what, John Goodman is in so many movies every single year that we tend to take him for granted.
Yeah.
And watching a role like this, you say, my goodness, can that man act? I mean, he portrayed everything that he needed to in that character. He was that character.
Yeah.
He was very unsettling, very creepy, very volcanic.
Yeah.
This was like the serious version of his character in The Big Lebowski. Can you see what I'm saying?
Maybe.
Where that character was over the top comical, but way intense. This was almost that same character, but in a more real-life setting.
In a darker setting.
Okay, in a horror setting.
Yeah, yeah. I think another hat tip, or not, a tip of the hat, excuse me, another tip of the hat toward Goodman is his ability to almost play his characters as if their hearts were on their sleeves.
Mm.
Because we can kind of see that. Because we just see that he takes offense when he thinks that one of them is lying to him.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't just, like, you know, go crazy. He just he seriously takes personal offense to it.
He will not be disrespected.
Yeah.
You will show appreciation that I just saved your life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But he does it with conviction.
Yeah.
And very, very scary.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, wearing his heart on his sleeve. He did that even in the last movie that we had him in Trumbo.
In Trumbo, yeah.
You know that character. I mean,
yeah.
Hey, love me, love my dog. It's that kind of thing. I'm not gonna hide. But there's something about Howard that when he that scene where he says, where he's confessing to Michelle that he crashed into her. It was an accident. I wasn't in my right mind. I was, you know, he says, now I know that I appear to be normally reserved and have well put together. The way that he delivered that line, that character, Howard believed that people would see him as being in control.
Yeah.
He's totally out of control.
Yeah.
He's the opposite of control.
He's out of control.
He's yes. You know, I mean,
he's,
just
he's
the yes, he's,
Doug is the opposite of friendly. He's unfriendly.
Howard's the opposite of in control. He's out of control and reckless, yes, and disturbing. What about Mary Elizabeth Winstead?
Hey.
As Michelle.
Pretty good. She was apparently the only one ever considered for the role.
Really?
Yeah.
I've only seen her in one other film that I'm aware of, and that was from years ago. I don't even remember the name of the movie, but it was like Superhero High or something. It had Kurt Douglas in it. It was a high school for superhero kids.
It was like a Disney movie?
Yeah, something like that.
Sky High.
Sky High.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's the only other... But she, I mean... This was, again, this is A-list acting in a genre that is usually associated with B, you know, list actors.
Yep.
Or even Z grade, you know, that was, anyhow, very, very impressed with her. And then John Gallagher Jr. as Emmett. What'd you think of him?
Pretty good.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
I thought he was great. And those three together, again, I'm watching this film and thinking, there's nothing cheesy about this. There's no over-the-top acting. Everything is believable. And even until we get to the escape, I mean, I thought that the noise that they're hearing cars. What is going on? What is, you know, Howard is lying to he wasn't lying.
Mm-mm.
He misjudged what was actually going on.
Yeah.
I mean, he did throw out there, hey, could be space worms or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But that was, he was more leaning towards this is the Russians.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, right.
He's an ex-Navy man.
Mm-hmm.
So you're hearing those sounds, and it's not until she gets outside where you go, it wasn't cars driving over. And it is bad out there. This is bad.
Well, even like the moment for me when I personally felt like I could trust Howard. The first time was when, you know, the first scene where she tries to escape, going up the stairs, right after she, you know, knocked him out with a bottle.
And we hear that in the trailer.
Yeah, yeah. And she unlocks that first door, she opens it and goes through it, and she's about to get through that second one. But then we see that other woman show up.
Yeah.
And she's already been almost a third of the way eaten by radiation. And it's, ooh.
See, but here's the problem. Because J.J. Abrams, even though he wasn't directing, but, you know, he's the producer. J.J. Abrams, Christopher Nolan, and M. Night Shyamalan, with those three guys, you're expecting something strange.
Mm-hmm.
You're expecting a twist.
Wait, were they all producers?
No.
Oh.
What I'm saying is that if I'm watching something
that's
J.J.
They have a reputation of being twisty.
And so even when I saw that lady and her skin is being, you know, eaten away by whatever, you know, she says, it barely touched me, and you don't know what barely touched her or whatever, there's still that in the back of my mind going, okay, yeah, so now it really appears that Howard is correct, but still, this is a J.J. Abrams production.
Yeah.
And anything can happen.
Yeah.
Right? But lo and behold, no, it was worse than what we were thinking. Okay, what else? What are the shout-outs? Anything else that you want to say about the film in general?
No. I just want to see what the next film in the universe is going to be.
Oh, yeah. And it left us with that cliffhanger at the end, so wide open door. But, I mean, a movie such as this, are we able to pull any kind of Christian themes out of this?
Oh, I think so.
Something that we can use as we are sitting on our
double-decker couch
with our friends and loved ones, watching 10 Cloverfield Lane, which you should be doing. We want to give you just a couple quick little tools. And this can be a short episode. I have a feeling maybe we're starting the We're starting the trend.
That trend.
Maybe it could be solidified in the month of October.
I mean, it's not like The Shining where it was like pulling teeth.
Oh, my goodness.
Trying to get Christian themes out of that one.
A movie
that was really about the fake moon landing.
Yes.
You know.
Well, I mean, and so you talk about getting thrown, you know, left-hand turns all over the place. Like, wait, what does this have to do with the moon landing? I know it has something to do with the moon landing. Feeling like Howard there. Okay, so, you know, right off the bat, I saw a possible allegory. And this is something that could be explored. There's many different themes and different threads that could be explored in this film. And the first one that I saw was, okay, Howard equals the law. Okay? And the law equals death. The longer you spend time with Howard, the closer you are to death.
Yeah.
Okay? It's going to happen. It happened to Emmett.
Oh, man.
And it happened to the young lady that... You know, the picture and the mystery about his daughter and things like that.
The lady in the picture, what was his daughter's name?
I can't even remember.
But the lady in the picture, her name was Brittany. For some reason, I remember that. I don't know.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, and inside, you're under the protection of Howard, the law. But that equals death in the end. But outside of the law is godlessness. Okay, we got these aliens. You know, spoiler alert. There are aliens. But you already knew that. Craziness. And then the voice on the radio at the end, the gospel call, the invitation. Mm-hmm. Come, join us.
Yep.
Join us. Okay, so that's one possible allegory. However, a movie such as this, and probably most horror and thriller type films really lend themselves to the job of the preacher, to King Solomon.
Oh, yes, preacher.
The wisdom literature.
Yeah.
That's where you want to start mining for notions. And so I started mining. And I didn't get very far, Brendan, because I went to the book of Proverbs, and right there in the very first chapter, I found what I wanted to talk about and what I really see in this film. And I hope David Gaddy is proud of me because I think I'm pulling maybe some film student kind of tricks out of my bag of tricks here.
Maybe.
We have a picture of a road throughout this whole film. It starts with this figurative road of life. Even in the opening frames, she is on a road. She's in her apartment at that point, but she's on a road. She is in the process of leaving already. Mm-hmm. when we meet Michelle, and then just a few short moments later, she's literally on the road. And I want to start in, we're going to read, basically our reading today is from Proverbs chapter 1 verses 20 through 33. And as Michelle is in the act of leaving, we want to read verses 20 through 23. Let's do this out of the NILT, the New Living Translation. And what's one of the things that Solomon likes to do? He likes to talk about wisdom, mm-hmm. and he personifies wisdom. So this is wisdom speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public square. She calls to the crowds along the main street, to those gathered in front of the city gate. How long, you simpletons, will you insist on being simple-minded? How long will you mockers relish your mocking? How long will you fools hate knowledge? Come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise. You simpletons insisting on being simple-minded, the way that you're running your lives without me, wisdom, involved. It's a bad existence. While leaving, Michelle gets a phone call.
Michelle, please don't hang up. Just talk to me, okay? I can't believe you just left. Michelle, come back. Please say something. Michelle, talk to me. Look, we had an argument. Couples fight. That is no reason to just leave everything behind. Running away isn't going to help anything. Michelle, please.
For more details on that, elsewhere today, power has still not been restored to many cities on the southern seaboard. In the wake of this afternoon's widespread blackout, there had been some inclement weather in the region. The problem seems linked to what authorities are calling a catastrophic power surge that has tripled traffic in the area.
She's driving away. She receives that phone call. Who is that on the phone? Ben.
Yeah.
Played by?
Oh.
Bradley Cooper.
I was going to say, you want to go ahead and say it? Okay.
It's a little cameo role in there. But actually, Brendan, it's wisdom calling. Remember in verse 23, come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise. What does Ben say? Come back. Come back, Michelle. We had one little argument, and you're going to throw it all away? You're going to run away? That sounds like foolishness. That sounds like simple-mindedness. That sounds like you're mocking wisdom and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens? She gets in a car accident. She wakes up in a small cinder block room. She's in a bad state right now. Let's read verses 24 and 25 out of Proverbs chapter 1. I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. Ben, or wisdom, says, you ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offer. She wakes up in this small cinder block room, and she is chained. She has this brace around her knee, and she's chained to the wall on a little mattress. And her, she has this IV in her arm, and her possessions are across the room. And she obviously is in a panic, but she has the state of mind that she's able to rig. You know, that IV bag holder in order to hook her stuff.
To extend.
To try and get her phone. But alas, no reception where she is. She has no idea where she is. And then she starts to hear something is coming towards her little cinder block room.
Please don't hurt me. Please. Just let me go, okay? I won't tell anybody. I promise. Okay, please just let me go. Please.
You need fluids. You were in shock.
What are you gonna do to me?
I'm going to keep you alive. Work on getting handy with these.
My boyfriend was expecting me. He'll send the cops looking.
I'm sorry, but no one is looking for you.
Ugh. Okay, first of all, I meant to, at the beginning, tell everybody to listen to this episode on your earbuds or, privately with headphones because of the – I clipped these this audio specifically to have some moodiness and some, tension
working.
And drama.
It's working.
Yeah, so don't be listening to this on the car speakers while you're driving down the road with road noise and stuff. You won't get the full effect.
Or worse, if you get the full effect while you're driving – we may not be responsible for what happened.
Yeah. So,
legal disclaimer.
Wisdom says, I called you so often, Michelle, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offered, and now look where you are. You're in a bad situation. And Howard tells you, I'm sorry, Michelle. Nobody is looking for you. That's a bad spot to be in. So let's continue. Verses 26 and 27. Wisdom says, so I will laugh when you are in trouble. I will mock you when disaster overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster engulfs you like a cyclone, and anguish and distress overwhelm you. Does that not describe her current situation, Brendan?
I mean, it's pretty daggone close.
To a T.
Yes, sir.
Wisdom says, remember, wisdom personified, says, I will laugh at this trouble that you're in right now, Michelle, because you wouldn't come back. You rejected me. When this calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster engulfs you like a cyclone, and anguish and distress overwhelm you, I'll mock. She's thinking, how did I get in this situation? How did I? Is she ever going to realize that it's because she left the path of wisdom? Will she get another chance to heed the call of wisdom?
Oh, I think she will.
Okay, so now the remaining time in the bunker, let's just talk about this a little bit. Let's just bounce this off, because this is also Emmett's story. Remember their big scene together as they're leaning on opposite on,
you know, on the jukebox
or whatever. Is that what they were leaning against when they were having their conversation about life and their regrets? Remember, what did Emmett say? Yeah, I have regrets. I've lived my whole entire life within a 40-mile radius.
Oh no, that's when they had started that conversation in the living space. I don't know if it was on the jukebox or on the couch, but Emmett didn't answer. Then when they've both gone back, I was going to say retreated, they didn't retreat, but they went to their bedrooms. And there's the one wall that separates them.
They're both leaning against that both wall, basically back to back.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, she happens to just tap, and he's like, hey.
Yeah.
Hey, you asked me if I had regrets. Yeah, yes. So that's where that happens.
And what was his regret? He had the opportunity to go and do things. He was given an opportunity and refused to go. He didn't go. And that also ties into what Wisdom says in verse 24, I called you so often, Emmett, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. In fact, he said he purposefully, the night before he had to leave, he purposely got so drunk so that he wouldn't wake up in the morning and go to the bus to take him, to school to further his education or what have you. You ignored my advice, Emmett. And rejected the correction I offered, so I will laugh when you are in trouble. So what wisdom says, I will mock when disaster overtakes you. What happens to Emmett?
That
was another thing that we could have done. Emmett sacrificed himself for Michelle. Granted, sure. Did he realize he was about to get...
I don't think so.
No, because that none of us expected that.
No.
That was so shocking.
Yeah.
And that was another illustration of how unhinged Howard is.
Yeah.
So, yes, they get caught as they're scheming and they're... I mean, they both found themselves in this situation because they refused to listen to wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're with a bad man.
Yeah.
And Emmett ends up dying. So, I mean, what else? I mean, anything else that you want to point out about that whole time in the bunker about these two characters? I mean, they're trying to get out of this situation. One of them doesn't get that opportunity, but the other one does. The other one does get an opportunity. That's Michelle, of course. So let's go through verses 28 through 32 and see how this describes Emmett and Michelle's existence. When they cry for help, I will not answer.
Mm-hmm.
Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me. How can we get out of here? Looking for wisdom. How can we get out of this situation? For that, why? For they hated knowledge, and they chose not to fear the Lord. They rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way. Choking on their own schemes. This is what it looks like when you are ignoring wisdom. That's why this movie's a great illustration of this.
Mm-hmm.
For simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency. That's the way the world works. But Michelle does escape. She's given a second chance. And she receives another message.
Oh.
While on the road.
The Haitian military has taken back the southern seaboard. You are hearing this and aren't in a safe zone. Head north of Baton Rouge. But if you have any medical training or combat experience, we need help. There are people in Houston. There are survivors at Mercy Hospital. Repeat. There are people in Houston who need our help. Come join us. We've taken back the southern seaboard. And we're winning. But if you have any medical training or combat experience, there are survivors.
And she once again hears the voice of wisdom. I love how the beginning of the film starts with her hearing the voice of wisdom, but as she goes too far away, it's cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And she spends the whole, you know, remainder of the film separated from wisdom until she's given a second chance and hears the voice of wisdom again. You can go up that way and be safe, or you can come over here and help and join us and do good.
Mm-hmm.
And do good for others. That is okay. Key verse is verse 33 of Proverbs chapter 1, and I want to read it out of Young's literal translation.
Oh yes,
this is, you know,
the Yilt.
This is one. Yes, Yilt. This is one of the most literal translations that you can read of the Bible. And whoso is hearkening to me dwelleth confidently and is quiet from fear of evil. Now, people will say, listening right now, go, what does that have to do? How did you make that connection? Let's read it in the NILT. But all who listen to me, who listen to wisdom, will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. I want to focus on those five words, untroubled by fear of harm, or in the Young's literal translation, and is in brackets, so it's really actually not there. They supplied that, so let's take that out. And whoso is hearkening to me dwelleth confidently and quiet from fear of evil. Dwelleth quietly from the fear of evil. In either one of those translations, or any other translation, you will not read, or you should not read, untroubled by harm or quiet from evil. That's not the promise.
Mm-hmm.
The promise is not that you will not experience bad things. aliens coming down and shooting green gas that burns your skin off or anything like that. It's not saying that you will not find yourself in bad situations. What it is saying is that those who listen to wisdom and hearken to wisdom and dwell with wisdom, who live to listen to wisdom, will live in peace, a peace that is untroubled by fear. And that's what we see in Michelle.
Yes.
When she takes that left-hand turn. I could go that way to, quote, safety, or I can go this way and be some earthly good. Oh!
Hey.
Oh, no! Is the streak still going?
I think it is.
Is the streak still going? Oh, no!
Oh, no. Why do you say, oh, no? It's a good thing.
She is not, in other words, dear listeners, she is not fearful of that evil anymore. We saw she destroyed with a Molotov cocktail. She destroyed one of those things.
The whole thing.
The whole thing with a one little Molotov cocktail.
That was pretty impressive.
That was some powerful hooch that was in that bottle.
198%.
My goodness.
198 proof.
Okay, so, Brendan, do you have any questions, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks?
No.
I do.
Oh.
Because I have a clarification. So, this is going to make that verse, that key verse, even more clear, what my point was. Psalm 112, verses 7 and 8, out of the Amplified Version, the 2015 version. He, these are people that they're dwelling in the fear of the Lord, you know, doing what you're supposed to be doing. He will not fear bad news.
Mm-hmm.
His heart is steadfast, trusting, confidently relying on and believing in the Lord. His heart is upheld. He will not fear while he looks with satisfaction on his adversaries. That's a life of no fear. Even when you have to battle a big green puking gigantic flying space alien,
hey,
you can say, you can have the peace of mind or the presence of mind, I should say, to say, wait a second, where'd that bottle of hooch go? I bet you I can make a Molotov cocktail that will destroy that thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what dwelling with wisdom does. So there. That's my point. That's what I got out of this film. Now, questions, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks.
Just another question for you. Would you say that Michelle is a sort of remnant?
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Good. Oh, good. I'm glad you would.
Yeah, we could go to Hosea, and we could go to Isaiah, of course.
I was just going to go to Romans.
Okay.
A quick little venture into Romans.
Yes. When in Rome.
Hey, when in Rome, do what Paul did.
Yes. And read the KJV. Oh, did I say that? What does that have to do with this show? I just stunned Brendan.
Oh.
The stunnage. I'm sorry, friends.
The stunnage.
I was caught up in the frivolity of the moment.
But Michelle is a type of a remnant.
Yes.
And she's been set free. She now has her freedom. And if you just want to glance through the quips and phrases of Romans 11, where Paul is specifically speaking about those who were of Israel and now those who are not, because they have been given this freedom to live without fear, to live with wisdom, this freedom to perform.
Yes, 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 yes.
One might say. Let's see, where could I even start? You know, let's go 11:28 for right now.
All right.
Many people, this is from the NILT, you know, my favorite translation, the NILT. Many of the people of Israel are now enemies of the good news. Talk about Howard.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's an enemy.
Yes.
You know, and now this benefits you as Gentiles. Yet they are still people he loves because he chose their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for God's gifts, and his call can never be withdrawn. That call is still not withdrawn. That's not me, is it?
No, that's me this time. Wow.
What?
Somebody's messaging me.
Hey. Is it run?
No, but he did. He did send some birthday greetings.
Oh, well, the birthday candles are lit, and the fire rises.
You are popular today.
What is going on? Nobody likes me,
man.
Okay, go.
I'm usually the one checking my phone.
I didn't look at the time. I'm not watching the clock. Get back to your point.
Hey, okay. Quick in and out. The call's still there. As we've already established the point, the call is still there. The call to come back to wisdom. The call to be some earthly good is still there. And we've seen this controlling theme rise and subside throughout the whole film. When wisdom, or when necessity calls, do you run? Or do you stay?
Do you answer the call?
Do you answer the call, or yeah. Do you not answer the call? Yeah. Emmett did not answer the call.
Yeah.
Howard, what would you say he did?
Howard's a nutter. I don't even know what to say.
Well, let me just say that
Howard is the law.
Yeah.
I mean, he really is. You can't. This is the law. It's black and white. Those people outside are outside the law. You that are inside here are under the law, and the law produces one thing and one thing only. Is it righteousness?
No.
No, it is death.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And that's what happened to Emmett. You broke the law.
Yeah, and what's what happened to
Emmett? Yeah, because he testified against himself.
Yeah.
Thinking that he was going to save, but guess what? You died. What did Howard say? He admitted what he was up to. He was going to try and get a weapon and use it against us.
Yeah.
He had to die.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's how I see it.
Well, I was just, to put it in terms of did he answer the call or not, let's talk about what the call is. If you know there are people out there in trouble.
Yep. Yep. He did not answer the call, did he?
No. He retreated back into his bunker.
Yeah.
He retreated back into the safety.
See, love does no wrong to others, Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't do that.
No, he didn't. No. He was looking out for he, himself, and him.
Why? Because, I mean, getting back to verse 33 of Proverbs chapter 1, he didn't live quiet in the fear of evil. It was all noise. The fear created this noise, which it happened in all three characters.
That's true.
Oh, but only Michelle was able to repent.
Mm-hmm. And she fought for that freedom. And she got that freedom.
And then she answers the call.
And she answers the call. She presented herself a living sacrifice.
Yes.
And that's my key text.
Amen.
Amen. Romans 11 a little bit early, going to Romans 12, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. And this is truly the way to worship him. Now, yes, granted, Michelle's not thinking of terms of, oh, I'm going to go save these people and therefore worship God. But Michelle is thinking, I can go help save human life. And let's just be honest, in the horror genre, that's as noble as you can get.
Yes.
Is the sanctification of human life. Because she doesn't
fear sacrificing herself. She's done it.
Exactly.
She's already faced it.
Yes, sir. She's already faced what crazy dudes can do. And she's faced what crazy aliens could do.
Yeah.
And she figures if there's anything worse than crazy dudes and crazy aliens, it's not going to be in Houston, because that's all there is in Houston. Crazy dudes, crazy aliens. she's answering the call, and she is presenting herself a living and holy sacrifice.
Yes. Awesome.
That's it.
Yeah. It's a good illustration. It's a good parable for following after wisdom,
mm-hmm.
for staying in line with the wisdom of God. And hearkening, and doing, and not running away from God. Wow. Listeners, what Christian themes did you find in 10 Cloverfield Lane Turns out that this was a really good movie to start off the month with.
It was. Oh, it so was.
And we continued the streak of being earthly good. Be earthly good. Don't fear what the evil that will happen. Evil's going to happen.
It will.
Don't fear that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're with God, you don't have to fear that evil.
No.
Wow. Even if the, quote, worst happens in this life.
Mm-hmm.
What Christian themes did you find in 10 Cloverfield Lane? We'll give you all the ways to contact us coming up shortly. But now it's time for some feedback. Brendan.
Yes.
We received a message on Twitter from a young Timothy Weber. He is at TWeb_Bond. So the letters T and then Web. TWeb_Bond via Twitter. And he has a YouTube channel with his friends called Really Random Rants. Three R's.
Oh, buddy.
Really Random Ants. Ants. Rants.
Wait, so is it like the name's Bond? T-Web Bond. Is that what it is? I think it's what it is.
Okay, he says, I know you guys are a podcast show, but could you also start making PowerPoints for your lessons? And, you know, I saw that, and I'm like, I don't know who's asking this question, where it's coming from, what, you know. So I said, I just responded, thanks for reaching out to us. What would be the purpose of PowerPoints? And he responded, my friends and I lead a Bible study on Monday nights that go over similarities between movies and the Bible, which is how I found your show. So I've oftentimes used your lessons to base my lessons. You know, in other words, I take your lesson and alter it for my lesson. We always do PowerPoint presentations, hence the question for you creating some that way. I would really have a jump start. Well, and we appreciate that and understand how that could be great help. There's no time for us to make PowerPoint presentations of our lessons. And so I just said, you know, unfortunately, we just don't have the time to do that. So he responded back, says, all right, well, then we will continue to do it how we currently are. Also, another reason I asked is we're all teens.
Hey.
How awesome is that?
Now, wait a minute. Are you teens watching Good Will Hunting?
Yeah, well, they should. They know better than doing that.
I'm sure they do know better than to do that.
Yeah.
Wink, wink.
Yeah.
No, so wait, I didn't say that.
I mean, how heartwarming is it to know that there are teenagers out there that are conducting their own Bible studies?
Yeah.
I mean, stop right there. There's teens out there conducting their own Bible studies, wanting to learn more about God.
They got that hunger.
Oh, man. That just puts a big smile on my face to hear that. So, Timothy, keep it up.
And then it's also, like you said in your Facebook post, it's very humbling, too.
It is, absolutely. To be told, yeah, we're actually using a lot of the things that you guys present on your show in our Bible study. Well, that also reinforces what we always say and what the purpose of Finding Christ in Cinema is, and that is we're using stories that everybody is familiar with in order to shine a brighter light on the greatest story.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. So, Timothy, please keep in touch. Email us. Call the voice line, tweet at us, whatever you have to do. Keep in touch. Let us know how it's going. That made my day when I saw that. We also got an email, Brendan, from Long Lost Super Curl.
Da 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 da.
Da da da. That's Brianna Potitos. Well, she used to be Potitos.
Potatoes.
Because now she is Brianna McFarland.
Hey, there you go.
Again, Super Curl, the daughter of patron saint.
Potatoes.
Yes, that's right.
Now is not the time for the lightning round. That comes later.
No, Bane, we're in the middle of feedback right now. As a matter of fact, I don't even know why he would say that. Obviously, it's not time for that. Anyway, so...
Obviously.
Brianna says, hey, Michael and Brendan. First of all, this is Brianna Poteet, as you may remember me. I've gotten married, so hence the different last name. I'm back to listening to the podcast.
Yay!
I finally finished school and I'm working now, so I actually have time. I haven't caught up on all of the backlog, partially because I haven't seen most of the movies y'all have done recently. I did, however, particularly enjoy your Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory episode.
Yes.
That movie was a favorite of mine growing up, and I really loved the Roald Dahl book. I did find it kind of funny the movie that everyone really adores is the Gene Wilder one, yet it was such a departure from the book. Mm-hmm. That's true. Contrasted with the Depp version, which most folks I know of thought was downright creepy, but was much truer to the original storyline. Valid points. Mm-hmm. It's just that Gene Wilder is Gene Wilder and Johnny Depp is not. I mean, that's my own interjection. She didn't say that, did she?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
yeah, that's did. My. All right. Next, I have a request for Patron St. Philip Presents The List! Okay, what is it? Which I know by now is probably literally a mile long, but it was such a good movie I couldn't resist. That movie is, of course, Magnificent Seven.
Hey.
Which was absolutely magnificent.
Ha-ha!
Is she talking about the Yul Brynner and all those guys?
The original or the remake?
Yeah.
Is what we're asking.
Yeah. What do you think?
I don't know. I did happen to catch the remake.
And what'd you think?
Oh, man. So good.
Really?
Really
so
good.
Put it on Patron St. Philip Presents The List! The list! Just put it on.
Just, oh, man.
All right. Also wanted to wish Michael a very happy birthday.
The birthday candles are lit, and the fire rises.
And boy, I'll tell you what. My wife put every single candle that belonged on that cake
How many
on
candles?
There.
60, what? 63?
This is the end. This is the end. My only friend. This is it. That's the ageism has gone too far.
Boo!
You really ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, no, I love it.
You know, I mean, elder abuse is what this is really venturing into.
That's fine.
You don't want that on your conscience after tackling those kids at school and taking their footballs.
Sure not.
Not only does he...
Who's going to stop
me? He beats up on kids and old people.
Who's going to stop me?
This guy's out of control! Anyway, okay, so happy birthday and one to you too, Brendan.
Hey.
Since I'm not sure when yours is. Well, that would be Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
This is Halloween.
You're not far off.
Nope. Anyway, at the end of the Willy Wonka episode, you mentioned that you're moving forward with making your Tolkien show at last, she says, reality, but that you'd been held up because of the lack of a logo. I had a spare moment on my lunch and took the liberty of putting together an attempt at just that. I'm an engineer, not a graphic designer, so it may need a little work, and it won't hurt my feelings a bit if y'all decide to use a different one, but I think it does look pretty sweet. I've attached the PowerPoint. What is it with PowerPoint on this episode?
I don't know.
There's Okay, I've attached the PowerPoint file I made, which has several different iterations if y'all prefer a different one than the one I thought looked best. I've also attached what I thought to be the best one as a PDF. Let me know what you think, Brianna. Brianna. And I love it. Brendan loves it. We will use it in some capacity because you made it, and so we love it. And so, again, an update, working on the artwork.
Hey, there you go.
I can't wait.
Now's not the time for a well-mannered from
I cannot wait to do that
show. Now is not the time for the lightning
Tolkien
round.
Show?
That comes later.
It does. Bane, we need that one. Now is not the time for the unnamed, because it's not called the Tolkien Show. We're not telling what it's called.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
It's a secret.
It's going to be a big reveal on everybody. And then when we reveal it, people will be going, huh? What's that? We'll have to explain why it's so awesome.
No, let's not explain it.
No, I think we will. Well,
when we get to that part in the book.
What we'll do before we reveal the name, we'll encourage people to go and watch, especially the Minds of Moria segment in Fellowship of the Ring.
Okay.
And then maybe we'll get more specific, and we'll see if people can guess.
Okay.
But now is not the time.
Okay.
That comes later.
Oh.
Brianna, thank you. Mrs. McFarland, I should say. Thank you so much for emailing us and for creating that artwork and giving us a movie for the list and all the wonderful things. We're so happy to have you back. Don't know if you're listening to this episode because we don't know if you've seen 10 Cloverfield Lane or if you even should. I think that you should. Brendan.
Me too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anything else from her? Oh, here we go.
You knew we'd be here.
I knew it.
Who goes there? It is I,
Patron Saint Philip.
I congratulate you, little boy.
Yes, I did. But
Joe's
poor. I got it right.
But does he want to write a gorilla movie?
Everybody
does. Wants to write a gorilla movie?
Me. Patron Saint Philip is going to take us down to King Philip's Stables of Doom. I forgot to do that on the last episode, so I should do it again. Patron Saint Philip is going to take us down to King Philip's Stables of Doom. Yeah, that makes up for last time. He left a comment, Brendan, on Good Will Hunting. That was Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 112. You can go and listen to that at Christ in Cinema.
He says, "Hey guys, great episode on Good Will Hunting." Thank you.
Yes, yes.
"I was quite pleased that I enjoyed the film so much when I rewatched it. I saw it first at the theater almost 20 years ago. How crazy is that? But I didn't have a liking other than for Robin Williams' performance, which I think is the foundation of the movie."
Yeah.
"Back then, I was still young in my faith, having only been a Christian for a couple of years, and the vulgarity and crassness was too much of an obstacle for me at that time."
Understandable.
"Hey, yeah. "And now I was able to deal with its shortcomings and find the redeeming aspects of it. So good call."
Yay!
"That early scene you discussed between Robin Williams and Stellan Skarsgård illustrates to me how different they looked at the world."
Couldn't be any more different.
Yeah. "When Lambeau said Sean and Will were similar, I think he and Sean both really knew it. Knew it was not just because they were both from South Boston, but that they were both squandering their great potential."
Okay, so that's his response to the Rorschach test that we did last week. You had your response. I forgot to tell you what my response was.
Oh.
My answer for the Rorschach test is, I think that because those two characters were good friends as youngsters, I believe that Jerry knew about Sean's abuse. And that's why he says, "You are the psychologist for him. You are the therapist for Will." When Jerry first approached Sean, and he says, "You know, you're the guy for this job because you have so much in common," just the way that Sean's reaction was, I mean, almost like, what exactly are you talking about? What do you mean we have something in common? And then Jerry defaults to, "Oh, well, you're both from the same neighborhood." He didn't want to bring up painful memories of abuse in Sean's life because Jerry and Sean grew up together.
Yes. Okay.
I believe that Jerry was well aware.
Yeah.
And he was already familiar with Will's abuse because he was at the hearing.
Yeah.
So that's what I think. When I look at that ink blot of a scene, that's what I see.
Hadn't thought about it like that.
Next time you watch it, tune in, pay close attention to Sean's reaction when he says, "What things in common?" Or really, what?
Does he look like he's a little scared?
It's almost like a flinching there. Like, what are you bringing up? What do you mean?
Oh.
What do you mean specifically?
Okay.
And then when he says, "Oh, well, you're both from South Boston or whatever," and then the way that Sean, okay, yeah, I'll talk about that.
Oh.
Yes. I think that Sean carried a lot of baggage from that abuse. I think that Will was probably only the third person he had ever said that to, besides Jerry, Sean's wife, and then now Will.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, okay, back to it.
All right. He continues, "However, Sean was more in tune with God's point of view."
Amen.
"Not seeing fame, status, and wealth as indications of success, but rather seeing success in a noble calling and fulfilling work that enriches the lives of others in a practical and meaningful way."
Beautifully put.
Wow.
Yes.
All right. "Also, the biggest thing that sticks out to me is how Sean's love overcame Will's fear." Hey. 1 John 4:18 says there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears punishment has not been perfected in love.
Oh, and how does that tie into my key verse today?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Will's fear has had crippled his entire life, casting a shadow on over every relationship outside his small circle of friends.
True.
What healed him in the end was not the fulfillment of his potential, a big job with a big pay, or any other worldly consideration. What healed him was love and understanding from a friend who knew how to help him escape the bondage of his past.
Amen.
Can we just get Philip on the show?
I know, we really...
While I also like Dead Poets Society,
well, this really is the Phil segment.
While I also like Dead Poets Society and Good Morning Vietnam, which I need to read.
I need to as well. Good Morning Vietnam!
You just like it because he's a radio guy.
Yes. And it's Robin Williams.
Yes. This is the signature performance. This is the signature performance for Robin Williams and a fitting tribute to his work in film.
Yep, I agree with him. I hope that our treatment was respectful and fitting as well.
And as for Stellan Skarsgård,
how about Stellan Skarsgård?
If you want to,
kids love him.
If you want to see more of him,
I do.
Check out River on Netflix. It's a 6-episode miniseries that has a unique look at a police drama with Skarsgård anchoring the show with a great acting job.
All right.
Lastly, am I correct in assuming that the version of The Invisible Man you'll be doing is the 1933 film with Claude Rains?
You are absolutely correct.
Yes, sir.
And in fact, it's going to be our gateway, Patron St. Philip. It's our gateway to get Brendan into Casablanca. Oh, because he's going to say, I need to see Claude Rains in some more. And I'll say, well, first, let's take a trip over to Casablanca.
Love the show, guys. Hashtag
Moe We Love Gimli. You need to see Casablanca.
What movie are you talking about?
Yes, absolutely. Anything else?
Well-mannered frivolity.
What's going on? Yes.
Michael.
Yes.
Shiloh got me tore up.
Ruby Falls?
No.
Did you see Ruby Falls?
I did not.
Oh, okay.
I was actually looking. I didn't.
So that you could help prevent tragedy.
Yeah.
Instead of people just plastering it all over the interstates here in Tennessee.
Poor girl.
I know. Everybody's like making fun of her.
Lend a hand, will you?
I know. Don't post it on.
Man.
So the social media of the interstate highways.
Oh, so here's what happened. So last Saturday was the Motlow Honors Program field trip to Shiloh Battlefield, a good 3.5-hour drive away. Always fun, though. Never a dull moment. A good time was had by all.
Well, good.
Well, that's how the saying goes.
Yeah.
But on the way back, though, I started realizing, I'm a little congested, a little stopped up from the day.
You didn't teach them how to use a neti pot, did you?
No, I did not.
Okay.
No. I only do
Mrs.
that.
Mrs. Gaddy would not approve.
No, I only do that in the privacy of my own bathroom. and that night,
YouTube.
I went to bed. Yeah.
Do a YouTube video on neti
pot.
No,
it's okay.
Okay.
That's okay. I'll call her out. went to bed that Saturday night. Little stuffy, so I took a little Alka-Seltzer cold and flu, try to lift it up a little bit. Woke up for some reason Sunday morning, a little bit of a fever, my ear was hurting, everything. And then I worked on the blog post from 9 to 1 Sunday, went back to bed, and then woke up at 6, still hurting even more. Took some medicine, went back to bed, woke up at 6 the next morning. Had a fever going, man.
Had a fever.
Had some kind of infection going.
Shiloh's revenge.
Shiloh's revenge. I went to school. Monday morning, I went to school. I walked into the door, and I had the fever chills. It felt like someone was just taking the building and just shaking it as I walked. I looked at the principal, and she said, Mr. Taylor, are you doing okay? Yeah, I'm fine. It's like, because I didn't want to look like a weakling. Are you kidding me?
Sissy.
I'm Mr. Taylor. Dadgummit. I run this school.
The kids rely on me.
And so I got there at 7:30 and I left at 11:30.
Well,
I just went
so
home.
So you punked out.
Yeah, I did.
Well.
Dude, it was so bad. It was so bad. And then what did I do Tuesday?
I don't know.
Called out.
Oh,
because it was worse.
Well,
man, and
you didn't bring that here, did you?
No.
Okay.
No. Wednesday it started dying down, and then today, yesterday, and today I'm good.
You know what? You could have bypassed all of that with a neti pot.
I had to buy a new one.
Did you?
Yeah, the other one was 4 years old. It was decrepit. Is what it was. So, but tomorrow is another Motlow field trip. This time to Huntsville.
Okay.
For a two parter. Downtown Ghost Walk.
Two-parter, huh? Down there in Alabama?
Yeah, two-parter, as in we get the first part of the walk at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
Where we get the more historical, not so...
Do you go to that old town place there?
Which one?
It's like an old settlement, like 1840s settlement or whatever?
Oh, I know what you're talking about, but no, we didn't go there.
Okay.
But we'll do like a two-hour tour, not a three-hour tour.
Oh, okay.
Two-hour tour. Downtown, walk around, getting the historical side of the ghost stories, and then at 6:30 that night, after dinner, we get the spooky side.
Ooh,
so it'll be fun.
Fun,
it'll be fun.
Hey, I took you up on your lightning round last week.
Really?
And I started watching that version of Hamlet.
Yes,
starring Sir Patrick Stewart. Is he a sir?
He is.
Patrick Stewart.
He is.
And then the great...
David Tennant.
Oh, man. If you haven't watched it, if you didn't take Brendan up on that, well, first of all, shame on you.
Boo!
And then next thing you want to do is start watching it. It is over 3 hours long. Mm-hmm. But, and it is, it's crazy because it is, this was a made-for-TV film over there in the it was the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And but it's updated, whereas it takes place in modern times.
Mm-hmm. But the language.
But the language
is still as beautiful as it always has.
Yes.
Been.
And David Tennant. I was telling you before the microphones went hot. He's a favorite actor of mine, but I really only know him from Doctor Who. But he's one of my favorite doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And
who?
He's trained, you know, Shakespearean actor. That's what he's grown up doing. And his portrayal of Hamlet is absolutely stunning to me. And, of course, Patrick Stewart. Everybody. It's a great cast. Very impressed. And then I also took David Gaddy's Lightning Round. See, the Lightning Round last week was awesome. It stuck with me. And I started taking that train ride from wherever to Oslo over there in the Norway. Right? Norway? Oslo, Norway?
That 7-hour train ride, huh?
Oh, man. Hey, I'm not kidding you. David Gaddy was not kidding. That wasn't a joke lightning round. You need to watch that to put it on. Just have it going, and you'll just be sitting there and saying, wow, this place is beautiful. I want to go there. I want to go on this train. And what it is it was a celebration. It's 7 hours long. They were filming it to celebrate the 100-year anniversary of that particular railroad.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it is awesome. I mean, you're going through all these tunnels. You're along the fjords and stuff and just going by and seeing the houses and little towns. And it is stunning.
All right.
I used that adjective in two different well-mannered frivolities within about a minute and a half. David Tennant, stunning. Slow train to Oslo, stunning. So go and do that.
Was it the last train to Oslo?
No. Not the last
Take
one.
The last train to Oslo.
No, that's,
and I'll meet
yeah,
you.
Yeah, the monkeys were on there.
At the fjord. Yeah. And
Mickey Dolenz.
4:30. And I'll make your res with Eeyore. Doo doo doo.
Eeyore?
Yeah.
Oh,
I had to rhyme with fjord.
I don't know. Anyway. The lightning round! Have ye one?
I do, yes.
What is it?
BroadwayHD.com.
And what does this do?
you can stream for a nominal fee.
The street up there in Nashville?
No, Broadway as in New York.
Oh!
Yes. You for a nominal fee, you may stream Broadway performances to your device.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you know what this nominal fee is? Because that's really subjective.
I had to. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's really vague,
way
too.
Subjective.
Let's see. I had to watch a Shakespeare production of a Shakespeare production. The BBC production of The Comedy of Errors.
Okay.
And it
granted, that's like this show.
Huh?
That's really like, that describes this show.
The Comedy of Errors?
Yes.
No.
No? Okay.
No. Granted, there are a lot of errors, and it's very comical, very comedic, but no, that doesn't describe. Okay.
All right.
But I think I paid $7.99 for a two-night rental.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, good. So it's pay as you go.
Yeah, pay per thing. Okay. Pay per view.
Yeah, kind pay of per sort. View.
Yeah, pretty much.
There you go.
And I bring it up because they just had, or they now have Imelda Staunton, FCC's very own Imelda Staunton, in Stephen Sondheim's Gypsy. So if you like musicals, hey,
there you go. And speaking of FCC's very own, so my lightning round has to do with Harry Potter, mm-hmm. because I am now on the audiobook for The Order of the Phoenix. And
isn't that where we first meet Dolores Umbridge?
Yes.
It is.
In fact, at that feast for the first day at Hogwarts, well, during the sorting ceremony, the hat this year sings a different song. Right, it always sings a song about the virtues of the different houses and blah, 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 and what the sorting hat does. This year, it's a different song, and they are trying to figure out what's going on. And Nearly Headless Nick is at the Gryffindor table, because he's the Gryffindor house ghost, and he's talking with Harry and Hermione and Ron, of course, and they say, has he ever, you know, Nearly Headless Nick has been dead and at Hogwarts for like 500 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, has he ever changed the song before? And I want you to pay close attention to his response and apply this to the church. So let's think, that's something we could have done in our Harry Potter series is Hogwarts itself with the four houses representing Christendom. Okay? So think of that, friends, as we listen to Nearly Headless Nick say, I have heard the hat give several warnings before, always at times when it detects periods of great danger for the school. And always, of course, its advice is the same. Stand together, be strong from within. There's a message to the church.
All right.
From Nearly Headless Nick in these troubled times that we live in. The advice is always the same. Stand together, be strong from within. Thank you, J.K. Rowling,
mm-hmm.
to continue to give us good Christian advice and thoughts. Brendan, what is coming up on Finding Christ in Cinema this, what did you call it? Octoberween?
Octoberween.
All right.
Octoberween.
Octoberween.
Well, can we make our own theremin?
I would love to. You can buy kits. And it's relatively cheap.
Oh.
Yes. Recording, when I was out in California working in recording studios, I did record a band that had a homemade theremin.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
and
so cool.
I took it from them and for hours was playing with it.
Oh, man. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Next week, we are going back to the classics. We're going back to the basics. We're going back to the Universal Monster series with the Invisible Man.
Yes!
Yes.
Absolutely. I already have it. Hey, friends, I bought it on a HD version on Amazon streaming video for $7.99, and many of the Universal Monster movies in HD for $7.99.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
After that, we'll be looking at the most recent iteration with Jack Black.
Yes!
And Goosebumps.
Wonderful. Looking forward to it.
Yes. And then we're going to close out the month. Have you contacted Jonathan?
No, he's down at Disney World.
Oh, pfft. Anyway, we're going to answer the request of Mr. Jonathan Tucker.
Yes.
With The Witch.
Yeah.
And guys, I'm not going to lie. I don't like scary movies.
So we're going back to the 1600s on that one.
1600s, pilgrims, witches. I don't like.
Goats. Creepy goats.
Oh, man. I don't like scary movies like that. But they're so fun. They're fun, but I hate them.
Yes.
So, and then, okay. Listeners.
Yes.
We had a little idea. Actually, we had two ideas. One, after all this darkness and scary and suspense, we want to lighten things up with A Knight's Tale.
Yeah.
Hey.
There you go.
Or.
Oh, wait a second. So now we got multiple choices.
Why does it have to be or? We can just do both. Should we make November a nice musical month? Because we haven't done any musicals.
We haven't.
Hold on.
The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Nightmare Before Christmas and White Christmas.
But that's the month of Christmas. So you're thinking, I'm proposing, should we do a whole month of musicals to get into the well-mannered frivolity spirit that will lead directly to Christmas?
Yes.
I like it!
I'm thinking...
Oh, Into the Woods, though, to get a new one. Oh.
No, we've already done that one.
No, we haven't. You did a Monday movie review.
We did.
Back when you used to do those.
Didn't...
We have never done Into the Woods. We talked about it.
Do you want to do it?
I kind of do, because my daughter loves that movie, and that's a newer one that we might be able to.
Are you sure you want to do it?
Because I want to see Chris Pine be silly.
Okay. Then I was thinking more along the lines of the classic ones.
We did Les Miserables.
We did do Les Mis.
So we've done a few musicals.
Yeah, a few musicals. Newer.
Yeah.
Kind of, well, I don't know, White Christmas. I was thinking either West Side Story.
Definitely.
Singing in the Rain or The Music Man.
Definitely.
So, you know, we're thinking about those.
Okay.
Thinking about those. And then, of course, we might as well just go ahead and start getting our ducks in a row for Christmas. It's going to be just around the corner.
Hey, we need your guys' help. Send in ideas and requests and thoughts and piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks.
Michael's already thinking Arthur Christmas.
Yes, and, so. Well, we have to do another version. And there's a musical! The Muppet Christmas Carol!
Yes!
Yes!
Oh, man.
Hey, whatever happens, friends, Finding Christ in Cinema is live in the studio each Friday, Lord willing, at around 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Join us for live video and especially chat using the chat room and video player at gctnetwork.com/live. Finding Christ in Cinema is part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, a listener-supported ministry using new media and social networking to equip and encourage you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. Now, to witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational digital ministry, including all 113 episodes of Finding Christ in Cinema, Brendan's long gone Monday movie reviews,
where are they at?
And links to our social media profiles, visit our website at christincinema.com. All requests, ideas, piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks, all that good stuff, you can send that via email to fcc@gctnetwork.com.
You can call us up on the voice line at 507-407-GCTN. And if that phone number doesn't work, please use our extra line. Mildred is standing by at 507-407-4286. Now, let's just say you want to listen to the good old podcast.
I do.
And you want to go to iTunes?
Yes.
But the air got to it.
Okay.
The air got to it.
That's a different Tim Allen. Or a different Tom Hanks, I mean.
Yeah.
You are a sad, strange little man.
You want to go to Stitcher?
Yes.
If you like falafel.
I don't like falafel.
You want to go to TuneIn Radio if you love duct tape.
I love duct tape.
But if those three wombats don't get you.
No, not those three wombats. No way.
Because this is not a miracle, man.
Well, no. I don't even know where that is. I have no idea.
It's on the same page.
I'm a miracle man.
And if you don't even like comedians.
Thanks, Joaquin, for helping me out there.
You know I hate comedians.
You can now go to Google Play Music and search them all. Not for some cute technology.
No.
What about...
This is some cute technology like the Iron Man suit.
But search them all for Finding Christ in Cinema.
The birthday candles are lit. And the fire rises.
And for all the shows that we produce here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, including our brothers in Texas, the Theonauts! Get over to our official website at gctnetwork.com. Mr. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
Got any grapes?
I congratulate you, little boy.
And that is a wrap! Here's my fallback one.
So who wants to write a gorilla movie?
Me!
Being me has its privilege.
The you!
Great Scott!
What? I like to whisper too. No. Martha. I like to whisper too.
Martha. There's no such thing as magic.
That's two at the same time.
That was a hiccup.
You gotta keep regular if you want to be happy.
Thanks, Catman.
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
Is your Great Commission transmission at gctnetwork.com. This is your Great Commission transmission.